Thank you for joining us on A Journey of Faith, brought to you by Only Jesus For Me Ministries. It is our hope that through this spiritual journey of 10 sessions, you will be equipped to engage with some of life's toughest questions. While this session certainly has value in and of itself, we want to invite you to consider this session in context with the other 9 sessions in A Journey of Faith. We feel this will make your journey to discovery more complete. At OJM, we teach on the premise that truth discovered is truth retained. We also invite you to download the ebooks that correspond with these audiobooks and dive deeper into each subject on this journey. We also hope you will watch and listen to the e-sessions carefully and engage with the discussion questions that are suggested at the end of every session. By the way, we want you to feel free to express your own ideas that emerge as you listen, watch, and study with us. We welcome you to A Journey of Faith.
Session 1. God's Wonderful Assurance of Salvation. The Abiding Principles for this Session. John 5:24. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life." Philippians 1:6. "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." John 1:12. "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." Introduction to Session 1, God's Wonderful Assurance of Salvation. The Bible records the stories of many people who had peace and assurance in their hearts that heaven was their eternal destination. Consider the testimonies of Job 19:25-27. "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought." Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke 1:47-50. "How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him." Paul, 2 Timothy 1:12. "That is why I am suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return." Peter, 1 Peter 1:3-5. "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." John, 1 John 5:11. "And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." From these testimonies and others in the Bible, it is clear that God has made it possible for true disciples of Jesus Christ to have the peace and assurance of knowing that heaven is their eternal home. Even so, many sincere born-again disciples of Jesus are struggling with doubts about eternity and live in fear that they may miss heaven. This lack of assurance causes personal witness to waver. Psalm 107:2. "Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies." Purpose to wane. Daniel 11:32b. "But the people who know their God will be strong." Progress to be withheld. Ephesians 4:14-15. then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Peace to whether. Philippians 4:7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Power to be weakened. 2 Timothy 3:14. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Some of the ideas in the introduction came from Francis W. Dixon's Bible Study Notes, Being Sure of One's Salvation. We are reading today from the Bible text, 1 John 4:8-18. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Now, to discuss the Bible text. 1 John 4 was written to believers who have entered into a life of committed discipleship to Christ and are thus born again, or saved by God's marvelous grace. In our text, we find 6 reasons that we can have God's wonderful assurance that we will spend eternity with Christ in heaven. When considered together, these reasons bring confidence to our hearts and lives before God. Let's explore each of these reasons individually. Roman numeral 1. We can know that we are born again because we know that God truly loves us. That is God's character. Capital A. God loves everyone in the world. Romans 10:12. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord, who gives generously to all who call on him. Capital B. God showed his love by providing salvation for everyone. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to come again, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Capital C. God desires for everyone to be born again and to be sure of it. 1 John 5:12-13. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. Roman numeral 2. We can know that we are born again because we are honest about our past. Capital A. We really didn't love God before salvation came into our lives. To love God is the first and greatest commandment of the Bible. Matthew 22:36-38. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus said, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Matthew 5:6. New International Version, NIV. Before salvation, we did not hunger and thirst for a relationship with God. We were not seeking God's righteousness in our lives. We were not interested in church, Bible study, or prayer. Romans 3:10-12. As the scriptures say, No one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. We were not pursuing God because we were separated from God by our sin. Romans 5:12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Galatians 3:22. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Capital B. A changed perspective from being indifferent about God to truly desiring to pursue a relationship with God and God's Word is a convincing evidence of true salvation. Roman numeral 3. We can know that we are born again because God's plan of salvation is not the product of human agency or made-up ideas. Capital A. Notice the sobering love of God in our text. God loved us in spite of our sin. Romans 5:8-9. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. God initiated our salvation. 1 John 4:19. We love each other because He, God, loved us first. Capital B. God provided the solution for our need. God's Son, Jesus, became our Savior. Hebrews 9:22-23-28. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That is why the tabernacle and everything in it, which were copies of things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. But the real things in heaven had to be purified with far better sacrifices than the blood of animals. So also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for Him. Our Savior sacrificed His life on the cross, dying in our place for our sin. Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. 1 Peter 1:18-20. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom He paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose Him as your ransom long before the world began, but He has now revealed Him to you in these last days. Capital C. We have simply trusted in the Savior's finished work on the cross for our salvation. We have asked Him to save us, trusting in His atoning blood to forgive our past, present, and future debt of sin. Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We have been passed from death unto life, never to return to the sentence of death. Romans 8, 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. This was accomplished by a transformational work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Titus 3, 5. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Christ for Us, a hymn written by Horatius Bonar, contains the following thought. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die. Another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. Roman numeral 4. We can know that we are born again because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. Capital A, the Holy Spirit indwells each born-again believer. John 14, 16 through 17. Jesus said, And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him, because it is not looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him, because He lives with you now and later will be in you. Capital B. The Holy Spirit's presence in a believer's life is a great evidence of salvation. Romans 8, 15 through 16. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. A missionary related this truth when he told me of his salvation testimony. He had run from the Lord and wanted nothing to do with God. But then a faithful Christian had witnessed to him of the love of Christ. Something this witness shared with him really stuck in his mind. This Christian told him that when he was born again, he would know it. Three things would happen. 1. He would have a sensitivity to sin. 2. He would have a desire to pursue God. 3. He would have a concern for others to be reconciled to God. This missionary told me that after running from God a while longer, he finally gave his heart and life to Christ. Within hours of his salvation, he remembered what the witness had shared with him. Indeed, he noticed all three things had become reality. These things were an evidence that the Holy Spirit had come to live in his heart. The Holy Spirit's presence begins to produce a changed life. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. The Holy Spirit's presence begins to transform your character traits. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Philippians 2, 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. The Holy Spirit's presence brings conviction about sin. You can't get away with sin. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when He corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as His child. The Holy Spirit helps you understand the Bible and what God desires for your life. John 14, 26. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Roman numeral 5. We can know that we are born again because we are relying on God's promises. Capital A. God's word is absolutely trustworthy. God cannot lie. 2 Peter 1:16. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. God promises eternal life to all who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation. Titus 1:2. This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God's promise assures those who are born again that they are on their way to heaven. They cannot go to hell because their destination is changed. John 3:16-17. Jesus said, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. Capital B. Assurance of salvation depends on a believer choosing to trust in God's promises. Notice the testimony of these men who had faith in God's promises. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Romans 4:3. The Apostle Paul said, "For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better." Philippians 1:21. A person must relinquish doubt and choose to have faith in God's promises. Ephesians 3:17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Roman numeral 6. We can know that we are born again because we are secure in the power of God's keeping. Capital A. A believer is hidden in the hollow of God's hand. John 10:27-30. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Capital B. A believer is surrounded by God's love. Romans 8:35-37. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. Capital C. A believer is protected by God's power. In conclusion, you should sincerely consider these questions. Have you been born again from above? Is there an assurance in your heart that you are a true follower of Jesus? It is better to be double sure than to be unsure and live with doubts about eternal life. You can find God's wonderful assurance of salvation by entering into a committed relationship with Jesus Christ as you decide or reaffirm your decision to follow Jesus truly from your heart. This decision must come from your heart. You must be willing to turn your life over to Jesus and allow God to change you from the inside out. If this is your desire, you could pray a prayer something like this, meaning it from your heart to God's heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, knowing that I need true salvation. I acknowledge the awfulness of my sin and realize that I don't deserve your grace and mercy. Even so, I read in your word that in your great love, you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for all my sin, and that he arose from the grave to be my Savior. I believe all of that is true. So the best I know how, I repent and turn my back on my sinful ways and ask you to take control of my life. I believe on Jesus for forgiveness, salvation of my soul, and the gift of eternal life in heaven when I die. I invite you into my heart and life by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that I may experience new birth in Christ, and that you may begin the transformational process of making me into a real Christian. Please help me to follow Jesus Christ each and every day, and thereby to know the assurance of salvation that a close relationship brings. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you have prayed a prayer like this from your heart to God's heart, you can rest assured that God heard your prayer, and most of all, God knows the decision of your heart. God has never turned anyone away. Daniel W. Whittle was an evangelist, Bible teacher, and hymn writer whose life was influenced by Dwight L. Moody. Following is the first verse and chorus from his hymn, "I Know Whom I Have Believed." I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why, unworthy, Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Here are some discussion questions for you to consider. Describe your relationship with God and Jesus before studying this session. Have you had doubts about your salvation? Have you wondered where you will spend eternity? Please discuss. Has your relationship with God changed? Have you committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Please explain. Out of the 6 reasons presented in this study from 1 John, please identify the reason or reasons that speak assurance to your heart about your relationship with God. Please explain why. Of the scriptures presented in this session, please select one that spoke to your heart and life, and type it out on the website. Why was this verse especially meaningful to you? Please answer these discussion questions in complete sentences on our website. When you submit your answers to OJM, you will get a copy of Larry's and Diane's answers in return via email. You may wish to keep a copy of your answers to compare yours with theirs as you continue discovering truth. If you are not sure how to answer each question, go ahead and take a stab at it. Once you start writing, you may surprise yourself. There are no right or wrong answers. We want to hear your thoughts. In addition, remember to write out the abiding principles on the website. If you complete these simple assignments, you will earn an upgraded certificate.
If you have enjoyed this session of A Journey of Faith, please remember that you may download this session as an ebook for no additional charge. Our ebooks offer bonus content, including acknowledgments, photos, and information about the author and contributing editor. We also would like to invite you to consider our Getting Fit program. The FIT in Getting Fit stands for our Facilitator in Training program that allows you to share what you have been discovering with others. It is truly fun, and we think you will find it rewarding. Find out more on our website at onlyjesusforme.com. Again, that is only Jesus, then the number 4, onlyjesusforme.com. Thank you for listening, and please know that our prayers are with you as you continue your journey of faith.